For 2012, a list of the top publishers of the world looks a lot like a reprint from 2011. The first four places all have repeated, with Pearson retaining its crown as the world's largest publisher, boasting 2012 revenues in excess of $9 billion. The only safe prediction for 2013 is that big changes are coming. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Looking closely at the roster of leading book publishers, a careful eye takes note that maintaining a single-minded title list pays best, and that China is on the march. Joining me with analysis and other news in book publishing for this week is Jim Milliot, co-editorial director at Publishers Weekly. Welcome to Beyond the Book, Jim.
Great to be here, Chris.
Well, this is a list that everybody waits for, and it's coming out in the upcoming issue of Publishers Weekly. And as we said at the top there, Pearson is at the top again, but there's a lot more to talk about here. And give us your take.
Well, you know, Pearson is at the top, as you said, for a good reason. It's because they are one of the few publishers that, at least up until July 1st, 2013, have major presence in both the trade area and the educational area. And as you suggested in the lead, that's about to change, as everyone knows, or most people do know, that as of July 1st, Pearson merged its Penguin subsidiary with Random House of Bertelsmann. So that was going to take a considerable amount of revenue off the top line there. And we'll see what happens in 2013. But it's a good point. And that is just the biggest indication, or the most recent indication, of how publishers across the globe are really focusing on one area. I mean, it's, you know, not universal in every single case, but it's come to a decision to put resources behind a single market, whether it be trade, as in the case of Penguin and Random House, or professional, the STM market, where the other top three guys really inhabit, or in education, where Pearson's going to be putting all its eggs in starting now.
Right. And, you know, to that point, John Wiley last year sold off its consumer-oriented companies. And with Bertelsmann, we will probably see a great jump in 2013, I would expect. They did a lot better this year in 2012, I should say, in the most recent year, than 2011, on the basis of one title.
Well, 50 Shades just keeps on giving. They sold the United States and Germany, and as well as a few other territories, throughout the world, and it's provided a tremendous lift. I think it's 90 million copies or so that were sold throughout the world, and it's, you know, even today, it's if you look on some various lists, either one of those titles is somewhere in the top 10.
Right, and it helped to move Bertelsmann's Random House from 8th place in 2011 to 5th place in 2012. We'll probably see them climb a lot higher than that in the coming year. As you mentioned, the top generator in terms of category is scientific, technical, medical, as far as revenue goes. But we are seeing something, too, which is the weighting of the list. As I understand it, the top 10 companies account for something like 55% of the revenue. Tell us more about that, just in terms of, you know, the big boys really are, you know, eating everybody else's lunch.
Well, they certainly are the largest, if the large, for a good reason. But as we saw in this year, that percentage actually fell a little bit. And what we think is happening, and if you look down the list a little more, some of these newer players on this scene, and you had mentioned China, and now I think has three or four publishers that are in the top 60 this year. Russia's got a couple. So we're seeing some growth in these emerging markets that are beginning to pick up sales across the globe. And as you know, as people can see when they look at the magazine, they may be surprised that the U.S. firms are represented, but they certainly don't dominate the list in any way.
No, you know, that was my impression, Jim, finally. It was to take a look down the column of parent country. And so we see a lot of Germany. We see, yes, indeed, a fair share of U.S. But it is pretty liberally sprinkled with, I suppose, what would you say, the G20 countries. We see Korea. We see France. We see Italy. Japan, of course, is there, as you mentioned, Russia. So it is very much a global market here and not dominated by any one particular country.
Absolutely. And one of those things that points out is that the Europeans in particular over the years have been more interested in books and journals than a lot of the American companies. I mean, if you look at the top, the McGraw-Hill, as we mentioned, you know, has got out of publishing altogether and right. sold McGraw-Hill Education to a private equity firm. So that's, you know, some of the trends we're seeing, and there are companies out there and countries out there where they're willing to pick up the slack.
Well, indeed. But, you know, with all the pressures on the book business today, it's not surprising that environmental concerns have fallen off the to-do list. But you report this coming week on some news from the Book Industry Environment Council and the Green Press Initiative, which is really cause for applause, because green printing policies have apparently saved, so they say, over 5 million trees between 2006 and 2010 and have helped to cut the industry's carbon footprint by a quarter. So what's going on here? What's helped to make the book business a greener one?
Well, a couple of things that they hadn't counted on when they first started this, and that was the rise of e-books and the recession that led to a slowdown in overall paper consumption. So those two things did dovetail and did serve to lower the carbon emissions a lot. But what also helped a great deal, and this is not to minimize their efforts at all, was the increased use of recycled paper. I think as the numbers show, 2006, about 5% of all paper came from recycled, and by 2010, it was up to 24%. So even without any of the e-book explosion and the economic downturn, they estimate that the carbon emission would have been cut by 11%. And what's really surprising here, Chris, is that they had set this 20% target to happen in 2020. And, you know, when it happened, obviously much quicker than they expected.
Well, indeed, and I think it's probably going to sort of send them back to the drawing board to try to do some other things. And that might include taking a look at how they can reduce the number of books that wind up in landfills.
Right, and it's an interesting approach. We've heard a lot about over the years about the publishers, you know, trying to do something minimizing their returns. But what BIEC wants to do is work with school systems and large library districts to work with helping them recycle the books they're trying to get rid of. You know, it's something that a lot of publishers really don't think about, but obviously books do become, you know, out of date. And instead of just shipping them off to be dumped somewhere, what BIEC is trying to do is coordinate the end users, as they say, with recycling and de-inking companies that can get these books back into the recycling flow and turn up as a new book somewhere down the line.
Right. And, you know, certainly having an impact and more as the years go by will be the emergence of e-books, but that then brings with it the emergence of e-readers, and they create their own environmental issues.
Right. And this has been a topic that's been very sensitive, and nobody's really tackled it. And now that the BIEC's got a working group going to see if they can really come up with some best practices on what's going on with e-readers and should they be recycled and what is actually their impact on the environment. I don't think there's any thought that it's a bad thing. It's just, I do believe that they think there's a better way that some of these old devices can be better recycled and reused.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. We look forward to your reports and to checking out this coming week's edition of Publishers Weekly. We've been chatting this week with Jim Milliot, co-editorial director at PW. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.